You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Datt, and today we are talking Braves baseball. We bring in our Braves reporter for MLB.com, Mark Bowman. Mark, a lot of Braves fans asking on Twitter, what are the chances that either Matt Kemp or Nick Markakis are traded and are not on this team next year?
Well, I think we'll definitely see them part ways with one of these two guys, and maybe both of them. I mean, obviously, everyone has known, you know, let's go back as far as July or August. We knew this was coming because, you know, Ronald Acuna was just fast-tracking his way through the minors. And, you know, probably in January when MLB Pipeline puts out its new rankings, he'll likely be the top overall prospect. You know, time will tell whether the Braves are willing to put him on the opening day roster and, you know, begin his service clock. But we know he'll be in Atlanta early in the season. He'll be in that lineup. So they do want to get part ways with one of these two veteran corner outfielders. I think, you know, you break it down. Does Nick Markakis still have some value as he enters the final year of his contract? He's going to cost $11 million next year. He's not the player he maybe once was, but at the same time, he is the respected figure, you know, that he has always been. He's going to. There are a lot of clubs that would love to have him in their clubhouse. He still gets on base, you know, at a respectable clip. You know, I do think that they will find some value in him. At the same time, you know, given a preference, I think they much rather deal Matt Kemp. But at the same, with Kemp being owed, you know, basically $36 million over the next 2 years, it's not easy to deal, you know, a guy like that who has dealt with so many injuries over, you know, throughout his career and is coming off of a season where his hamstring was a lingering concern. So, you know, you look ahead and you say, okay, will they ever reach a point where they're willing to maybe even eat all of Matt Kemp's contract? Before you get there, you go and you try to find a team. I mean, I think the best fit might be an American League team where he could DH. And you go into it knowing that you're probably going to have to eat a significant portion of that contract. But at the same time, I think you have to take a step back and say, look, it's what's best for the team now. And when you made the deal and you got Kemp, it was a swap of bad contracts. So, you know, that was the Hector Olivera trade. The Padres agreed to take on Olivera's salary at this, you know, while they were saving money by sending Kemp to Atlanta. You take on, you know, you complete one of those kind of trades, you may reach a point where you have to do this. Obviously, this is a different regime here within the front office with Alex Anthopoulos. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, the preference is to deal Matt Kemp. Will they ever reach a point to where they're willing to eat all of his contract? I don't know. But at the same time, I think that they'll at least explore Nick Markakis' market to see if there's a fit there, because, you know, when Matt Kemp was healthy last year, he was quite productive. You just don't know what kind of player you're going to get, because you don't want to go through what you did again this past year. You don't want to go through that again next year, where Kemp came to camp in great shape this year, but as the summer went on, the injuries lingered. You know, his conditioning, you know, he just wasn't in the same shape at the end of the year, you know, to put it bluntly.
You mentioned the Braves' new GM, Alex Anthopoulos. What is his, you know, first priority next week, as we've got winter meetings coming around in the corner? A lot of wheeling and dealing. Will he be sitting back and observing? What's the main thing that Braves fans should expect?
I think that, you know, he has been very patient and thorough with his, you know, evaluation of this organization. You know, he didn't get the job until November 13th. You know, so he's still a month into learning, you know, not only the organization, but putting his staff together. I don't expect a lot of activity next week. You know, I think that, you know, this could be, end up being a very active winter, but, you know, what happens over the remainder of the winter may be influenced through conversations had during next week's meetings, but I don't think they're at that stage where they want to pull the trigger on a big deal. And I think the big deal that's sitting out there is, the question is, will they go get a top flight starting pitcher at some point this, you know, there's also a chance that they would pursue a third baseman. But the thing is, if this team wants to win next year, they do have to add some experience to that rotation. And you could argue that even looking ahead to 2019, when it's more likely that they could win, I think you have to start looking at ways to add some experience to what is a very young rotation right now. And the most experienced starter is Julio Teheran. And I think you could argue there's a reason to trade him now while he maybe still has some value, because his value has, you know, I think it's not like a free fall, but I'd say his value has steadily diminished over the last few years.
Very interesting. You also wrote the moves that the new GM have made may give us an idea of how the team's bullpen will work next season. How so?
Well, you know, there is a lot of depth there. There's some young depth. You look at Aroldis Vizcaíno and A.J. Minter. A.J. Minter didn't even make his major league debut until August, but he finished the season striking out 17 of the final 31 batters he faced. We know what kind of potential he has. He has the potential to be a closer in the future. Vizcaíno has handled that role. But both of them are, you know, relatively young. Jose Ramirez has been up to the task. Last year he fatigued down the stretch. I think you've got three solid arms right there. I think what you need to do is add some experience to those guys. Then Daniel Winkler, who has shown some promising signs. You've got Sam Freeman. Like I said, there's depth there. They have some arms that, you know, if you wanted to form a bullpen with what you have right now, that's fine. They, you know, Alex has gone out and added a few relievers, including Chase Whitley, who, you know, he's the type of guy that's going to be able to pitch multiple innings. You look at the young rotation, and you're saying, hey, look, we're going to need some guys to pitch multiple innings out of the bullpen. A guy like Whitley can do that. And, you know, moving forward, they're going to be using an eight-man bullpen. They're going to have enough pieces not only at the big league level, but at the, you know, their AAA that they can, you know, shuttle guys back and forth. So I think that, you know, we've seen them add some depth. It'll be interesting to see whether they're willing to go add some quality to solidify the, you know, the eighth and ninth innings.
Yeah, that will be cool to be able to follow up on over the next week and months here before the season starts. As we do head into winter meetings, Mark, we want to ask you the most memorable winter meetings in Braves history. What do you got for us?
Oh, boy. I think that, you know, this came before my time. I know some people joke and say, was there a time before, you know, before I was covering this team, but long before I was covering this team, you know, you can look back at the winter meetings where they almost completed the deal for Barry Bonds, or you know, tried to strike a deal with Barry Bonds and went ahead and signed Greg Maddux. I think that one probably stands out as the most influential. The one for me that stands out was one of my, it's actually my first winter meetings back, you know, it was my second one, but we were in New Orleans there in 2003, and on a Friday night, you saw John Schuchholz and Walt Jocketty talking together in the bar, and we were at the Marriott in New Orleans, and, you know, didn't necessarily think anything of it. It was late at night, and they're talking, and, well, the next day, Saturday afternoon comes, and all of a sudden, it's announced that the Braves have acquired J.D. Drew in exchange for Adam Wainwright, and Jason Marquis was also part of that deal. Just a big deal that really, you know, it surprised everybody, because here's Adam Wainwright with their top pitching prospect. The Braves had just lost Gary Sheffield. J.D. Drew came in, and, you know, in hindsight, look, everyone will say, hey, look, the Cardinals won that deal because they got so many years of Wainwright. And that's fine. I understand that. That's true. But, you know, the one thing you can't overlook is J.D. Drew had one of the top, you know, arguably, certainly one of the top 10 seasons in Atlanta history. They probably wouldn't have won that 13th consecutive division title without J.D. It was an MVP-type season. It wasn't just an absolutely horrible deal in terms of immediate value. Now, from a long-term standpoint, you look at what Wainwright's done and what he's meant to that organization, to the Cardinals organization. You know, there's no doubt that the Cardinals won the deal. But at the same time, I think that the significance of that deal And Schurholz, he was so good at keeping all of his guys in the loop about everything. But this was one deal where he knew that his guys, you know, some of the scouts and the farm guys that were so close to Wainwright and knew his potential, he didn't necessarily fill them in on what he was going to do until the last minute because he knew what their reaction would be. He was ready to make a move that would have an immediate impact. There was some hope at that time that J.D. Drew would re-sign. But at the same time, he knew all of those guys were saying, we can't get rid of Wainwright. And, you know, here we are 15 years later, and, you know, those guys were probably right. But the following year, they're in Anaheim. We were in Anaheim, and there's talk about trading Dan Meyer for Tim Hudson. Now, let's not put Dan Meyer and Adam Wainwright in the same prospect category, but at that point in time, Dan Meyer was the top pitching prospect in the Braves system. These same scouts were saying, don't get rid of Dan Meyer. And here you have Tim Hudson, who, you know, arguably one of the top four or five pitchers in Atlanta history. So there's always going to be people that don't want to get rid of prospects. I get it. At the same time, sometimes it's well worth the gamble.
I'm telling you, Mark, stories like that get me pumped for the winter meetings because you never know what you're going to be seeing. You never know what you're looking at when you see two guys catching up or talking, whether they're actually brokering a deal or they're just talking about, you know, what pizza they like the best. So I love stories like that, and hopefully we've got a lot more coming this next week and over the off season. But really appreciate you joining us, and have fun. You're heading down to winter meetings?
Yep. We'll be heading down there Sunday, so look forward to it. It's always a great time, and you know, obviously this hot stove season's been relatively quiet, which means I think there will be plenty of activity, at least in the rumor mill, during this year's winter meetings. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, enjoy it, Mark. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Take care.